Welcome to PCMC, Pop Culture Man Children. Well, excuse me, Bill. I'm here with Mr. Bill Gagliardi.
Mike, can I have a kiss? How about a kiss? So
kisses are to be earned, but please ask me again every 5 minutes.
All right. But I should get a kiss, right?
Yes.
Good.
So
we're going to kiss.
I'm glad. I almost made the exact same joke. The kissing of it all is just wild. I know you were going to watch this with your children. I hope you told them, you know, boys, kissing is not something that is earned. It is something that people consent to do with one another.
Oh, no, no, no.
Owes you a kiss.
Peter is a habitual kisser. So he's like, I like what this guy is putting down.
Yeah, I like his smooth moves. Yeah. So if you don't know, but you probably know because you read the title when you clicked on this, me and Bill are here today to talk about the short-lived 1989 series, The Legend of Zelda, which is an animated series, although really it is part of the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
Now, you said it was short-lived. It was short-lived, but it also overstood its welcome as well.
Yes. Yes. But let me say this. I'll be negative on this, right? But there was potential here. I think had it gone longer, more could have been done.
I think that if you took out the things that we're probably going to joke about multiple times, if you took those things out, it would have been decent.
And it looks decent.
But I also think that the things that we are going to joke about are the things of why we remember it. Do you remember anything from the Super Mario Super Show or Super Mario World or the Super Mario Bros. 3 cartoons? Do you remember any lines that they've said? Do you remember any episodes or anything specifically? No.
No.
Do you remember Excuse Me, Christmas? Yeah. I think I said Christmas. Yeah. Excuse Me, Christmas.
Yeah. Which is stolen right out of Steve Martin's
Act.
I mean, so for those of you who don't know, me and Bill did an episode of PCMC on Zelda. Bill is a huge fan of the Zelda series, and I have never achieved even completing one Zelda game. I've tried, but I'm just not smart. So that episode's really fun because Bill is teaching me about the series, and I'm very interested in it. I was shocked to find out. I re-listened to it this week, and I was shocked to find out we did that 5 years ago.
That was 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing how time works, because there are certain episodes I think like, oh, that was not that long ago, and then it's like super long ago. That was 5 years ago, which is incredible. But now we're specifically talking about this animated series. So Super Mario Brothers Super Show, if you don't know, is it was also a year, which blows my mind because as a kid, I would have swore it was on for 20 years.
Yeah.
And one season. And it had live action Super Mario and Luigi in their Brooklyn little apartment / business. And then they'd have guest stars like Nicole Eggert or Elvira or Ernie Hudson as a Ghostbuster. And then those were wraparounds, and then they'd show a Super Mario Brothers cartoon, which was mostly based on the second game. But on Friday, it was a strip show, so it was Monday to Friday. But on Fridays, they wouldn't show the Mario cartoon. They'd show the Zelda cartoon. So even though IMDb thinks of this, like lists this as its own animated series, it's actually part of that. And there's only 13 episodes because there were only 13 weeks of this show being on, Super Mario Brothers Super Show. And they're only 15 minutes each. So this is really very consumable, this thing. And oddly enough, this is the only Zelda animated series has ever been, which blows my mind that there's not been like an anime at this point.
There have been fan-made like Studio Ghibli. We've mentioned this in the 5 year episode, like 5 years ago, like where there were like fan-made trailers in the style of Studio Ghibli. There was like an Unreal Engine Studio Ghibli version of Ocarina of Time that like it's not playable, but like you could like see images from it and stuff. So anime would be fantastic. I think there is a manga. But
Okay. Well, you know what? So 5 years ago, you were dreaming about where this franchise could go, and now here we are. There is a movie coming out.
there's a movie, baby.
I'm looking
Sorry,
at
I'm
real
excited.
images of it.
Yeah, I'm
This
excited for
and it looks
it.
good. This looks good.
We are at the 40th anniversary of Zelda. Nothing has happened on the actual day that it turned 40, but I have been following very closely. There have been rumors bubbling, and they have to do with the movie, they have to do with the future of the games. There was a very reputable leak saying that a remake, not a remaster, a full top, from the bottom up remake of Ocarina of Time coming out. And
Really?
it's coming out soon. It's coming out like probably around the holidays. They also said that the trailer for the movie is going to drop in June. So both of those,
Ooh.
it seems like both of those things are
Very
going to
soon.
be announced at the same time. And there are a lot of clues that show that this movie will heavily be based off of Ocarina of Time.
Okay. Well, June 5th is when Masters of the Universe comes out. Maybe they'll attach it to that.
Maybe. The thing with the Nintendo properties is that they always do what is called the Nintendo tree houses. So
Yes.
they'll just like drop something on YouTube and like have like a good like hour-long showcase of it. If it's in Masters of the Universe, that would be very appropriate. And
I mean, it's that wheelhouse. But this is not the forthcoming movie. This is The Legend of Zelda. Okay, so
Hey,
they're
but this walked so it could run, you know?
you've goddamn right. So this animation was produced by Deke, D-I-C, who also did Real
Deke.
Ghostbusters.
Oh, yes.
I don't want to like go through beat by beat, but I do want to talk about all 13 episodes. Some are good, some are bad, some are fucking ridiculous.
I'm not gonna lie, I did fall asleep on a couple of them because of how formulaic it was. And I was like, all right, I already know the players, so
I fell
I'm
asleep
gonna
on
doze off.
one and then the next day rewatched it.
It wasn't the water park one, was it?
No, but
Because
since you brought it up, I'll just
that
say what I'm gonna say, which is that is the absolute stupidest fucking idea in this entire series.
was
It's the dumbest idea in the whole show. Although that's the only episode that Ganon's not the villain in. So
Right.
it's interesting. So also, as we go through this, I'm not a Zelda person, so you can tell me how far this has to do with anything, if this influenced anything that came after it. I know Link doesn't speak in the games, right?
Yeah, I think it's for this reason. I think
Because
this
he
is what they
doesn't
gave.
shut the fuck up in this
Oh my
show.
God. It's just like a horny pest,
Well,
a
yes,
sexual pest.
they decided to make Link the sort of Real Ghostbusters, Dr. Peter Venkman, Zach Morris type of guy, where he's cocky and a piece of shit and trash. And we're supposed to be so charmed by that. He's
Yeah,
in that
which is funny
school.
because it's a Deke production, so it's like that was the trope that they were going for.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And then it also had the strong female character who's always like negging him, you know? Like
Right.
the Alice to the Ralph Cramden, you know?
Right, yes. I do like that Zelda is not like a damsel in distress in this.
No, she seems like she would actually be doing better without him.
Yeah. Yes,
And
he's holding her
she makes
back.
it known.
Yeah. Although I don't, why is she not wearing her traditional dress? Like she's dressed in a weird way that doesn't seem Zelda to me.
Because they're not obsessed with the patriarchy, Michael.
Oh,
Why do
okay.
you want to put her in a dress?
I'm so sorry. All right. I'm canceled.
Come on, educate yourself.
So the first episode is called The Ringer.
Yes.
There's actually a very cool the opening of each episode. I should say if you watch this on Amazon Prime, it begins with the Mario opening. You never fast forward that. You always want to do the Mario. It's always a good time. I'm hooked on the brothers.
Peter has yelled at me for skipping it a couple of times because he needs to do the dance.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, absolutely. But the opening is good. First of all, the theme is incredible. It's one of the best themes ever. It does a lot of work holding this whole thing together, the Zelda theme.
Oh, yeah.
Every time you play it plays, you're like, yeah, let's do it. So you hear that and you see you have like real clunky, like explaining everything. This is a Triforce of Wisdom. That's a Triforce of Power. Ganon wants to have both so he could rule Hyrule, but you work for me, I guess, or whatever.
Let me
And
just go into that for a second, because
please do.
I took pause in this.
Yeah.
So, and I had to do a little bit of research, because I was like, wait a second, what about the Triforce of Courage? There are
Yeah.
three, there tri is three, unless if they're just saying like two triangles or something, but
Yeah.
you know the iconic look of the Triforce. It's the tri like the
Yeah.
triangle of three triangles, which you do not see in this.
No, there's only two.
The reason why is because they're going off of the first story, which is Ganon has the Triforce of power. Zelda's Triforce of Wisdom gets broken up into pieces throughout Hyrule, which isn't one of the episodes, and I was very happy about that.
Yeah.
But you don't actually see the iconic three-piece Triforce until Zelda 2. This was actually a promo for Zelda 2, which
Oh,
came out
wow.
in 88, 89, or like depending on which. Like if you're talking about Japan or United States, but when they were writing it, when Bob Forward, who was the head writer on this, was
Yeah.
writing it, he only had like an instruction manual or something from Zelda 2,
Oh, wow.
like get a couple of get some knowledge for it. So like the idea of a three-piece Triforce didn't really come until like the ending of that.
Interesting.
And then that was more leaned on to in Link to the Past, which didn't come until like 2 years later.
So it's interesting because it's such a big, expansive like franchise, but I didn't realize this was only after the first game. I thought maybe the first couple had been out already.
It was it, like, I think by the time Zelda 2 was released, that this was out.
Okay.
Because I remember, like, I mean, I've been a Zelda head since I was a kid. I remember actually getting Zelda 2 upon its release for like an Easter or something.
Nice.
And I hated it then. It's the worst Zelda game.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah, it's extremely hard.
Okay.
But yeah,
Yeah,
the
go on.
ringer. No, the ringer.
The
We'll go
Ringer.
into it.
Okay. So, all right, one of the things, all right, so the setup in this is Link is an adventurer, a hero. She sarcastically always calls him hero. Like, good job, hero. He lives in the castle with her to protect her and to protect the Triforce of Wisdom. Like, that's his job. And like in the first episode, he talks about like how he wishes he was back out, just adventuring around, but now he's got this job that he basically keeps just because he really wants to fuck Zelda.
He's Heathcliff, right? Like, I mean, I know I just saw Wuthering Heights, but
Yeah.
like this whole
Yes.
thing, like he's just the help in this castle, who's
Yes.
also just who's just the fuck boy for this, pretty
Yeah,
much.
and when Ganon is not causing trouble, she makes him clean.
Yeah,
She's like, Link, if you've
like.
got time to lean, you got time to clean. Yeah. So Zelda is this giant world, right? Even the first game, it's this giant world. This cartoon feels too small. That's one of my major problems with it. There's the castle, there's the underworld, but all we ever see in the underworld is Ganon's little lair. And even in the castle, we mostly just see Link's bedroom.
Yeah.
Like it's too small.
Yeah. And like there's just the king, Sprite, who's the fairy, Zelda, Link, Ganon and his moblins. Like, and that's it. Like you'll see like a couple like who's it? Sleaze-nose?
Well, they do a real service to the audience, which is every time you see a monster, they say what they are immediately.
And
Oh
those
no,
names.
it's, and then they tell you.
Yeah. It's a
They're teasing
Stalfo,
you.
it's a
It's a tea.
Dudongo,
Yeah.
it's a Gibdo,
It really
it's
feels
a
like they're trying to teach people as this franchise is going to go on.
Yeah. And those names stayed. And like I was so amazed like when I heard Gibdo or when I heard Gleok, because those ones didn't really get into prevalence until like Tears of the Kingdom.
Oh, really?
Like, give those and Gliox do not come back until then
That's
in
really
some
interesting.
form.
So one of the stupid things in this show is that, like, the villains, the monsters, whatever, they live in the underworld. So they come out from under a lot. But the thing is, not every room is ground floor. Like, we see the Moblins come up from Link's floor in his bedroom, but he's living in a tower.
Worst castle, worst guarded castle in history.
Oh,
Like
it's
they
horrible.
and they gotta put the like it's like, oh, Ganon's here. Let me go get the Triforce.
Yeah, it's just in this fucking room.
Yeah.
Like, Link is the only security here.
And they've lost it so many
Yeah.
times.
And that's the thing is, this is super repetitive. Every episode is Ganon wants the fucking Triforce of Wisdom. There's one episode where I actually like this a lot. I was like, good. There's one episode where Ganon is somewhere else, and then Link and Zelda look at each other and go, let's go get the Triforce of Power. Which is like, I like that. I was like, cool. You never see, often in these cartoons, they're always defensive, not offensive. Like, I like that they were like, oh, let's us go get
Let's
the.
go. Let's yeah.
But it's him trying to get it. And he's got real bumbling monsters working for him. How is Ganon represented in games? Because here he's a wizard that's like a boar face. He actually, I like the voice a lot, a really cool voice performance, because it's like very high and scratchy, but then goes like crazy low on some words.
I want to talk about the voice a little bit, and I want to talk about the dynamic of Link, Zelda, and him, how he wants to marry the princess at some point, and the way that he says it in his inflection in the voice. I'm like, did Adventure Time get like the Ice King from him?
Dude, oh my God. I have a note where it was like halfway through where I was like, I wonder if Pendleton Ward was inspired by this. 'Cause
Well, there's a lot of.
it's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of Zelda influence in Adventure Time. And the video games are Zelda-esque for Adventure Time. But sorry, I interrupted. Go ahead.
Is this an invention of the show? Because it's like it's similar to the way Bowser wants to marry Peach. Like, is that something that's in the games? Does Ganon want to marry Zelda? Because sometimes he wants to marry her for the Triforce and for the kingdom, but sometimes I think he wants to fuck her.
Like what's the deal of these Nintendo villains between Bowser and like, dude, look at yourself in the mirror.
Come on, man. You're a monster. You're not going to get with a pretty blonde princess. You're a
Now,
legitimate monster.
you asked how he was represented. Like, do you mean like what was his physical features?
Yeah,
What
what was
is
his
like,
physical features?
so he is in the early game. So like, we're only basing it off of part one and two. He is pig-like. Part two, he's dead and they're trying to resurrect him. But like you see, like they said, the resurrection again, and you see a shadow of him and he still has that pig-like feature. So I feel like this is overused. Like in order to take one step, he teleports. Like he does like a queen snap and then teleports like constantly. But so that's overused. The teleportation is only used in like the first two games, or like Link to the Past, I should say. But you don't see him in human form until Ocarina of Time. So then they go back and forth, so he's always in that pig form, which is his Triforce of Power absorption. Like that's him using the Triforce of Power.
All right. Do the Triforces speak in the games?
No, not in riddles and not in
In
rhyme either.
rhymes. Yeah, they
Yeah, it's
speak
like a
in them. Yeah. And
shitty
also, sometimes they're very heavy to hold, but then other times they float like helium balloons and you can just walk around with them
Alexa.
on
Like. It's like a
the train.
kite. Like, oh, let me take the Triforce out for a ride today.
Well, I think you said this on the episode we recorded 5 years ago. It's like Wacky Races. It's like we just like the tri no one knows what the Triforce does.
No.
Like when Zelda's holding the Triforce, she could do things, but it's not clear how having both will do anything for like it's all very unclear.
So, can I go into the lore of what the Triforce is supposed to
Sure,
be?
please.
Okay, so the lore of the Triforce is three goddesses created Hyrule, right? Feyre, Din, and Nehru. I might be pronouncing them wrong, but that's how I read it. They created the law and order to the land. They cultivated, like, they're the genesis of Hyrule. When they were done creating, the point where they all met and ascended back into the heavens is the area where the Triforce was, and it was the gate between our world and the sacred realm. So once somebody was able to access the sacred realm, like cross that gateway and obtain the Triforce, then a wish will be granted to them. Usually, the Triforce is a whole. But the whole reason why people are in possession of it is in Ocarina of Time, because Ganon was corrupt, it split into three pieces. Ganon had the Triforce of Power, Zelda had the Triforce of Wisdom, and Link has the Triforce of Courage. So, I mean, that's the highbrow way of looking at it. What they do is really just based off of part one and, what we're building it to be.
So no sassy talk.
No sassy talk, no, like, it won't give you like energy powers or anything like that. It's
Yeah. Does
it.
Ganon want to marry Zelda?
No,
Okay.
no.
What is Sprite? What about Sprite? Are there fairies in the game? Is Sprite a character in the game?
No, there are fairies in the early games. Fairies are what give you extra life. Like
Okay.
those are the things, like you carry fairies for when your health meter depletes, it'll give you full life. A fairy follows. The first fairy that was a character was Navi in Ocarina of Time, and that one actually like was your companion throughout the game.
Interesting. So it's almost so the sprite is a whole different. First of all,
Sprite's Tinkerbell.
yeah. Well, she's very my girlfriend Jen coded. About the same size, same voice, very, very similar.
She just doesn't have a Julie Andrews haircut.
Yeah, she doesn't. Not yet. I beg her every day. There's also a weird love triangle where Sprite loves Link, but Link loves Zelda.
But look, the king would said that he would kiss Link at some point too.
Is there a stupid fucking king in the games?
King Rohim, who is that it's based off of, I forget, his name was a little bit longer in the show. I have so many notes. I'm not going to find it. No, he's not stupid. He's actually very very demure, very mindful.
He's very stupid in this.
Yes, he is. No,
Is there?
he is your paternal king in that, and he's not in it. He's not a big character. He's just Zelda's dad.
All right, is there anything in this show, any element, character or setting or ability or whatever, that's just so not in any Zelda game that you're like, what the fuck is that even?
I don't know. Like, honestly, that's where I was so surprised. That besides Link is really the biggest problem in this. By the way, that reminds me, can I have a kiss?
No.
You are so lucky that this is on Zoom.
Because you will try.
I would try.
Yeah.
No, it actually surprises me. Like, Link is really the biggest problem. Like, even Zelda's attire, we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
There are times, like, look, and shame on me for saying this, but there are times where, like, you see her can. Like
You
big
really.
time, and I'm like, that's actually a meme. That's actually like there's this, like, in the Zelda community, there is one shot in Breath of the Wild where she's bending over, and people are like, oh my God, this is what Link is fighting for. I don't condone it, but then like
No.
I was watching the show and I was like, oh, here that is.
Right. So in the show, every episode, I mean it's more than a running gag. It's like it's in every episode. He's constantly wants a kiss. He asks for a kiss. She will offer a kiss as a reward for things. And then the bit is always if when they're gonna kiss, C-3PO runs in and he's like, "Oh, Captain Solo." Like it's basically that always. Like I don't
Yeah.
think they ever do kiss. He does kiss the evil doppelganger one.
Yes.
And they show it. They just, not to be a prude, but I was like, wow, they're really showing making out in this child's cartoon. But he's
Well, she's
constantly
evil.
asking for a kiss.
You got to be evil in order to make out.
Yeah.
By the way, like these Nintendo princesses and their evil doppelgangers, I am here for evil Zelda, Bowsette. Like
Yeah.
these are internet goddesses,
He's a
and I am
man.
here for it. I
Yeah.
celebrate it, and
Yeah.
congratulations to
Yeah.
them.
But he really asks constantly for a kiss.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Can I have a kiss?
No, no.
Okay. All right. I respect your no.
Thank you.
But yeah, there's so many similarities that again, the names, but they've explained the underworld as there's this one episode, I think it has something to do with a labyrinth. What is it called? The Kiss and Tell, Singing the Unicorn, Single Feeling. Underworld Connections.
Yeah.
That was my favorite episode. Where like that was the one where they had to go and get all the pieces of the Triforce
Oh, right,
in
yes.
but it split into the underworld. So that's where I was like, oh, the underworld is a like it's not just like Ganon's fortress somewhere. It's an entire labyrinth that is under the surface of Hyrule, like
Right.
that's all connected. So it's like, oh, that's like the depths in Tears of the Kingdom.
Okay.
The and then like you see these access parts points
Yeah.
like come up, rise from the ground.
Yes.
So that's how you enter the levels in the first game. Like, I don't know if you remember in the first game, like you go into the tree to
They still
go
come out
like
of the
into a
ground like
dungeon.
that?
Well, you never see them rise from the ground. You see them rise from the ground as the shrines in Breath of the Wild. So it's
Okay.
like, oh shit, like here's where things are coming back from the show into here. So like it was really, really cool to see those things, and maybe this show had an influence into
Well,
that.
in general, does the Zelda, it's created by Miyamoto, right?
Miyamoto created Zelda, yeah.
So does Miyamoto like this show? Does he speak fondly about it?
I think it's I would like to think that he doesn't know about it.
I just wonder if like the they do, since you see things in the show that come up in later games, I wonder if they are influenced in some way by it or have some soft spot for it.
Could be a possibility, because the thing is this, it's like what they wanted to do with Breath of the Wild was they wanted to go back to the first game and have that type of open exploration to it. So as far as the art design, instead of it just being like 8-bit pixelation, really the only reference you had to go off of were either storyboard things or this animated series.
Okay.
And there are some choices that are made that have stuck with it. Like Link's tunic design
Yeah.
is a skin in Smash Brothers.
Oh, really?
Like that style, like where it's the brown pants and the brown sleeves and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the skin designs. Hyrule Castle, the way that it looks, is the way that it looks in Wind Waker. So yeah, they're like the whole thing, like they're the last Zelda game that came out, Echoes of Wisdom, is a Link is incapacitated. He's trapped, and Zelda is the one who has to pick up the mantle, like the last episode.
Interesting.
So it's like, I mean, that's a trope that always happens, though,
Yeah.
where, you know, it's the Merlin in the cave trope, but I mean, Link's no Merlin, let's be
No.
honest.
I want to point out when things are cool and they do work. So, like, whenever I saw an image that I liked, I would point it out. I'd write it in my notes. In the opening, there's a cool image where you see Link in his, like, room in a tower, and then the camera zooms out, and then you see him riding on a horse towards the camera. That's cool.
Yeah.
There's a cool moment in the first fight with the Moblins where he's got his sword out and you see the Moblin reflected in his sword. And then at the end of this episode, there is a dragon and there's a cool shot of the dragon like using its fire breath and Link holding his shield up to stop it and it like pushing him while he's got. So there's some good animation in this,
Yeah.
which is makes sense because it's Deke and
Yeah.
Deke did Ghostbusters and Inspector Gadget. So
Yeah.
like they're good. The plot of this episode is like it's a wizard's competition. So like everybody, and oh, let me ask you this. Is this a thing in this world that everybody has magic?
No.
Everybody has magic in this. There's even an episode where Light goes, "Isn't it cool that everybody has magic?" Like everybody has magic. So like, yeah, it's a magic competition. I think it's meant to be a riff on the archery contest in the Robin Hood story,
Yeah.
because it's like Zelda's having like a competition for like magic, and like so all these people come and like they'll do like tiny things, like I make this strawberry bigger or whatever, and then Ganon is dressed in a hood, right? So you can't see his pig face. And he is going to try to use this as an opportunity to steal the Triforce. So one guy has like a little lizard, and Ganon uses his magic to make the lizard turn into a dragon.
Yeah.
That's basically what we're doing here. That's the level of shenanigans going on. There's one good episode. I think this is a good episode when the henchmen are like, you know what? Fuck Ganon. Let's just go out on our
Yeah, it's
own.
like the second to last episode. They're
Yeah.
just like the mutiny.
Yeah. And in that one, they all storm the castle with soul, like it's like Lord of the Rings. And it's like, this is what they always should have been fucking doing.
It
Why
was like did you see the Game of Thrones like in the last season with when they attacked oh shit, what's the name of it? Winterfell.
No, I was not
Oh,
a gamer.
it was like a shitty version of that because like
Okay.
they were all very incompetent, like
Right.
so.
But they had the ladders. They were
Yeah.
smart enough to bring ladders.
But that was
Like,
the episode where it's like, oh wait, where's Ganon? Let's go get the Triforce.
right. Yes, exactly. Yeah. But like that's cool. But for the most part, it's very repetitive where it's like Ganon has like a stupid scheme to steal the Triforce.
Yeah.
But that's really where they're at. There's a weird thing they do where they're fighting, and I get like I want to say I do think it's cool that Zelda fights. It's also cool like they use the sound effects from the first game.
Yes.
So like Link will shoot from his sword, and that sounds like it does in the game.
I
They'll
think that's how they got away from the violence, though, like where it's like nobody really dies, like all that really does is just banish them into the jar, but it is a
Yes.
satisfying sound.
Yeah, oh, it's amazing. It's great. Also, like they have inventories, and like it'll look little in their hand, and then it'll grow to be something they can use.
I'm
I
glad
like
that's how
that.
they explained it. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a moment where like they're fighting, and Zelda and Link are both fighting, and he like uses his belt, and they're both wrapped in the same belt, and she's like, "Okay, let me go," and he's like, "No, I don't have respect for your body autonomy,"
Yeah.
and.
Why did they do that? Technically, that was the worst thing they could
Yeah, I
do.
don't know why we needed to get there, but it was just so he could say, "I saved your life again, kiss me."
Yeah. She should kiss him.
And they're about to have a kiss, but then Sprite interrupts it.
Oh,
He goes, "I
Sprite.
was that close. Do the Mario, swing your arms from side to side." So that's our first episode.
The second episode, they just have they're cleaning the castle.
Cold spells. Yeah, they're spring cleaning the castle. Link is a disgusting person. He sees Zelda sitting on his bed, and he says, quote, "Oh, smoochin' time," and then jumps on the bed.
Like Pete Rose into third base,
Yeah,
like
this is a child's cartoon. And then he pretends to be sick so he can't clean. Like, this is a game that's like puzzles and shit. Like, why is the show so
it's like Laser Shoot Larry.
dumb? Like, yeah, like, why is it so, it's weird that, 'cause you know what it feels like? It feels like it's like a writer's room with a bunch of like 60-year-old writers that smoke cigars and they've been in the cartoon business for 40 years. And they just have like the Link character and his other character. And then they're like, "All right, how do we do this? All right, how about the pig face guy? He dresses up like a clown and he sneaks." Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like the same plots you would have had it not been Zelda.
It's funny that you mentioned the writer's room because I did a little research. So Bob Forward was the primary writer,
Yeah.
and he hired his mother and his teenage sister to also write episodes.
Why not?
Isn't that
Why not? Why not just pure nepotism?
just the way?
Yeah. I want to shout out though, the voice of Zelda, I think she does a good job. What was her voice?
She reminded me a lot of Leela from Futurama.
Yes, she had a Leela-esqueness to her. Her name is Cynthia Preston, and I think she does live action acting as well.
Oh, cool.
But I liked she had a, she I liked her voice. I liked the voice acting for the most part in this, and especially Ganon.
There are a couple of like funny things. Like a lot of times where she's like, "Oh, I was looking for a hero, but I guess you do."
Yeah, there's moments that I think
Like funny
work.
jabs.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about the evil jar. By the way, brilliant naming. The evil jar.
Why doesn't he just let them out?
What
Like,
is this? What I don't get it.
well, it makes sense to something in a later game. So in Breath of the Wild, every like 7 light cycles, every 7 day night cycles, you get the blood moon, and the blood
Okay.
moon resurrects everybody that you killed. So again, I think it was a
But
workaround.
why do
So
they
this
have to be in
way,
a jar? So, like, what it looks like is in Ganon's lair, there is this giant, like, he calls it the evil jar. That's literally what it's called, right? It looks like that's what they wrote, and they were like, we'll come up with a better name later, and they forgot to. It's just like a big glass, like, container with an open, and it's got, like, the bottom of it has, like, legs, almost like old fashioned bathtubs, like, almost like talons.
and like gargoyle faces and stuff.
Yeah, and inside there's like smoke and fog, and it seems to be like that's where he gets his monsters from, and that's where they live inside the jar, I guess.
I just understood it as pretty much like the containment unit in Ghostbusters, where
Okay.
Link will zap them and it'll banish them to that area temporarily. Ganon's like, ah, shit, like you came back here. All right, you gotta stay here for 3 days. You know
Yeah.
the
Ganon is creeping around the castle on this giant like bug monster thing in this episode, which is
Goma.
kind of cool.
Oh no, not Goma. Sorry. Yeah, the bug thing is the thing that he rides. That doesn't
Yeah.
have a name.
So there's a
Oh.
tr so I'm sorry. No, sorry. I was
No, I thought
jumping
you
ahead.
froze.
There's a big crab monster. What's his name?
That's Goma.
Oh,
Goma
yeah.
is Goma goes in between a crab and a spider. Usually in there's a Goma in almost every game.
Okay. Yeah, that's these episodes are very repetitive, so we don't really have to get into like the nitty-gritty of each
Yeah,
one.
that's always the thing. It's what task Zelda and Link are doing at the beginning, and
Yeah.
then the struggle for the Triforce, and what is the monster of the week this week. And like, there's always a different hardship. I don't know when Sleaze-Nose comes in. I'm just so fascinated with Sleaze-Nose.
Yeah, I'm very interested in Sleaze-Nose.
Oh, the White Knight is the next episode.
Yes, the white episode 3, the White Knight.
Which, that guy was like a very Gilderoy Lockhart from Harry Potter.
Yes, that's
Like,
true.
real full of shit. Well, I had a couple of good things here. You have the Octorok comes into this one, which is
I
a
like that when
little
people
stable.
die, they drop items.
Yeah.
That was pretty fun and video game-esque. Octorok, did you say Octorok?
I said the Octoroks in that.
And that's like an octopus with a rock head that's lands goes around on land.
Yeah.
They fight over a ruby. Are there rubies?
Yeah, they were changed to rupees, and they've been rupees since.
That's like the jizz jazz.
Yeah.
Like what? Why change it to a fake make-believe word?
High fantasy.
There you go.
Opponent is in this one, but she's named Catherine. That's the horse.
Oh, okay. The prince's name is Prince Facade, which is like
Prince
pretty,
bullshit. Like,
right? But for some reason, see the writing, the problem, the real problem in the show is the writing. The writing's
yes.
bad. Why was he not a agent of Ganon?
I was
Is
really that that's what I was waiting for that.
it? But it's not.
No, I love she calls him a useless fop.
Yes, that's fun. Right, because his thing is like he's very charming, this white knight, and Zelda is like, kind of smitten with him, and this is making Link very jealous. So he, want he doesn't like him. And then Ganon, I think Ganon doesn't make him, but Ganon knows him, right? So Ganon How did I forget how Ganon works into it? But Ganon knows he doesn't like to get dirty or something. At some point, like, she's like in mud and he won't go after her.
Yeah, guy sucks.
Yeah, he sucks. Oh, there's a weird moment in this where Link is taking a bath and Sprite decides it's her time to sexually harass somebody. So she's like floating around him and he's like, "Do you mind?" And she goes, "I like you just the way you are, especially at the moment."
Yo, they wanted everybody in the show to fuck.
I know. Link comes dressed up like a pimp from the 70s.
Oh yeah, I have it written here. Link's fancy getup. I don't
Yeah.
know what this was,
And they all
but
laugh at him. They laugh right at him.
oh, but Facade could wear it.
Yeah. And then there's Zola, a fish monster.
Yes, Zolas were renamed Zoras. There's two different tribes of Zoras. There's ones that look more human, and there's ones that look like sea monsters like this.
Okay, and that's the thing that drags Zelda into the swamp.
Yes.
Right. Of course, it ends with him asking for a kiss.
Yeah. Can I get one?
No.
Damn.
So sorry.
Later?
You haven't earned it. You haven't earned it yet.
Okay. I respect your no.
Episode 4 is a wonderfully called Kiss and Tell.
I'm not going to ask.
Zelda comes across a beautiful woman being menaced by a Gleok. Is that right?
That's a Gleok. Three-headed dragon. Gleoks.
Yeah. It looks a little like
Hardest
Conquistadora.
thing in the games.
Oh, really?
Yep.
This one's not even really that bad. It's just a con.
No, he's like a real jabroni,
Yeah.
really.
And what's interesting is they use this like a couple different times where like there's a con going on and Link gets like fooled by it.
Yeah. He's a rube.
It's a ruse to catch Link. So, like it's this beautiful woman that the Gleok is attacking, so Link goes to try to like save her, but really, like they're Ganon wants them to like kidnap Link.
Yeah, she turns into a Gibdo.
Now, what is that?
A Gibdo is
It looks like a
so
mummy, right?
yeah, there's two different things. There's Rededs and Gibdos. Gibdos now have evolved, like they've evolved into the same thing pretty much, but Gibdos are more mummy-esque.
Okay.
They're more insecty in Tears of the Kingdom, but
Okay.
yeah, they're more mummy-esque. It's funny, one of the first times Henry was exposed to a Zelda game, he's playing Tears of the Kingdom and he's playing against a Gibdos, and he just says, I was like, what are you doing? He's like, I don't want to get Gibdoed. So
A
I love that it was
verb.
a verb.
She pulls a lady, a shining lady on him, because she's like, "You could kiss me, Link," and then Link kisses her and then turns into a Gibdo.
Yeah.
It's one of those.
The honey pot, the old honey pot.
Yes. Then there are red dealers, which are like spiders, right?
Yes. Red deal, those are, I think, a one and done though.
Okay.
Those are turned into Scuttlas eventually.
So this is a cool thing. The Triforce of Wisdom tells them to look for the Witch of Walls, which is like this long wall that's like a mosaic.
Yeah.
And then like out from the wall, like this two-dimensional witch comes out. I just thought this whole thing looked cool and
That was
was
cool.
cool.
Yeah.
It was
But
cool
again, that
looking.
was kind of used in Link Between Worlds, where like
Really?
you become a mosaic on the wall to like transfer into like more two-dimensional areas. Very interesting game. That one's fun. So again, like,
Yeah. I forgot the whole thing here is when the Gibdo kisses him, he turns into a frog. Link is
yes,
a
and then
frog.
Zelda had to kiss him. Well, it's a frog and a prince trope.
Yes. But he keeps eating flies, which is upsetting everyone. Which I thought was kind of funny. Because
Fuck you, frog.
everyone is like, "Oh, please don't." So the witch in the wall tells them to cure, yeah, to be cured of being a frog, you have to be kissed by a princess of her own free will. Ganon is holding Zelda for ransom. Ganon asks Zelda for a kiss. Oh boy. Oh, come on. While Link is knocked down, Sprite kisses him. And that turns her back human because she says she's the princess of fairies.
Everybody's just a princess here. We're lousy with princesses.
And then Zelda's gonna give Link a kiss at the end, but he eats a fly. And she's like, "No."
Force the habit, he says.
Yeah. Episode 5, Sing for the Unicorn. Ganon comes up from the underworld riding like a Pegasus. That's pretty cool looking.
It was metal. He's just
Yeah,
like
it was cool looking. Link tells the king that he's gonna swing into Zelda's room and try to get a kiss. And the king is like, yeah, that's fine.
But what's your name?
Take these flowers. Yeah. He's like, that's totally fine. Zelda is gonna kiss Link, but they're interrupted. Ganon is flying to the castle after the king with a bunch of bat creatures. What are those?
Back, why am I doing this? Sorry. Worst podcast etiquette. The bat creatures are called Keeses, unless if these are the ones with the eyes, and I don't know what that those
Okay.
call.
So the Ganon's idea here is to kidnap the king and hold him for ransom, I guess, for the Triforce. Tin suits.
Oh, the tin suits, those are interesting because I think that they I couldn't find anything with them. I think they're unique to the show.
But they also change in the first ep in the first time you see them, they look like knights that are like white and red, like but like knight. I because they're called tin suits, you get the idea that they're just armor that comes to life. In the first episode, they're normal size, they're regular size, like the same size as Link. But then every other time you see them in the show, they're giant. There's
Very
some.
much like the gumball guards of the Kingdom of Ood.
Yes. There's some animation inconsistencies. Some there's one episode, I forget which one, I think it was episode two or three, where Ganon is yellow skinned through the entire thing. Whereas for the most part, he'll be like kind of pink skinned, but then like yellow in certain lights. There's also like a few really bad ones. There's one episode where Link's eyebrows disappear. There, I don't know if you caught that. There's some bad animation in here. Stalfos, those are the skeleton guys, right?
Yes, then they've always been and they always will be.
And they remind me a lot of Army of Darkness.
Yes. Oh God, we got
Let's
to do
get
another Army of Darkness
the
episode.
hell out of here. Sing is the name of a ninja, right? And the ninja, it's her unicorn that Ganon stole.
Yes. Sing seems like she was based off of, or later based off of, like a Sheikah or a Yiga clan, which are the two ninja clans in Zelda. Like she was like very much like Impa. Oh, one thing I wanted to say also is like there's one thing of like they're fighting under a giant rib cage, and then this scene comes late on in a later on episode two. Again, that is a set piece that doesn't come back until Breath of the Wild, and it's like what are these giants? Like there are things that are like it. There's Hinoxes. Those are the giants that they're like giant trolls. But there are like I think they're dragons. I think they're like legendary dragons that that are those rib cage housings.
Okay. Interesting. So Ganon puts the king in this room where the floor is like disappearing. It's like starts as like a small hole in the center of the floor and it's expanding. So the king's like up against the wall. So it's like a ticking clock. Cool moment where Ganon like zaps in there and he's standing horizontally on the wall. I thought that was cool. I kind of like all the zapping around that Ganon does.
It's a sorcerer, you know? Like
Yeah,
it's
I like that. Yeah.
I just don't like it when he's just going 2 feet next to where he was.
Yes, because then he just looks like he's glitching. Link fights a red and blue centaur.
Those are in the games. Those are Lynels, but I think that they're just called centaurs in this one.
And then there's a magic whistle.
Yes, magic whistles been since the first game until it turned into an ocarina.
Does it make wind come like the way it does here?
Usually a tornado comes. If you remember from Super Mario 3, it used the exact same song that do 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 do.
Really?
Yeah, so Mario and Koji Kondo licensed it to both Mario and Zelda.
Interesting.
And that theme song is also the beginning theme to Ocarina of Time. That
Are they in a shared cinematic universe?
I have a theory to that actually, like how they're going to get around live action, but it's two different studios, so.
Interesting. All right. So episode six is that sinking feeling. Zelda jumps on Link and says, "Shut up and kiss me." But then they are interrupted when the ground starts to lift as an entrance from the underworld arises. So she kind of likes him too. Their relationship is weird. First of all, you're his
Tumultuous.
employer and also you're royalty. So there is a huge power imbalance in this relationship, which is
Yeah.
not cool.
Possibly some like local parentis thing too going on.
I don't like it. So they're attacked by some spider creatures who spit silk out of their mouths. They almost kiss again, but then a statue of Cupid sinks into the ground. We see a Garaya? Garaya? Like a blue
Garaya.
wolf man character kind of thing.
Oh yeah, the Garayas. Yes. Those come and go. I think they end in Zelda 2.
Okay. Zelda decides to steal the Triforce of Power so she'll have both. Oh, Zelda's castle sinks into the ground because Ganon has like a magic magnet that's making things sink into the ground. It's real stupid.
Yeah.
Ganon tells Zelda he wants to make her his queen.
Ice King.
Yes. Zelda uses the Triforce of Wisdom to create stairs from her mind.
Just because, like that's what it does at that moment.
At one point, they have to run, and Zelda's like, "Wait, let's get the Triforce of Power." And Link's like, "We can't. There's no time." But there was enough time.
She's power hungry. She really is. Like she's the one who's always like, "Yeah, now is the time to do it." Like she doesn't care about balance or anything like that. What do I have? Oh yeah, in that moment, Ganon should have just let Zelda combine the Triforces and then just swoop in because like they're always vulnerable and like he always grabs it anyway and he's got the home court advantage there, so it's just like, oh okay, you combine them both and you have them both with you right now, so now I have both of them.
I don't think this show ever establishes that they can combine. They talk about having them both, but I don't think they ever say that they could combine. It's very unclear as to what they do, where they come from, and why both of them want both.
But they're there.
So episode 7, Underworld Connections, this is the one you said was your favorite.
Yeah, this is great.
Why is this your favorite?
Because this is the one that's the closest to the accuracy for the first game.
Okay.
So, and the Triforce breaks into, I think, three different places. But one thing that I found that was funny was Link's hanging upside down and he's wearing hard underwear.
Classic.
Which that and also the picnic in the last episode, I'm like, are these nods to Capcom's Ghosts and Goblins?
Oh.
Because Arthur, who is the knight from that game,
Yeah.
once he gets hit, he's only in heart-shaped underwear.
But I
But
feel
either
like
that
the
or
hard,
that's like an old gag.
yeah, the hard underwear is an old gag. I don't know where it comes from, but it's an old gag.
Yeah. But yeah, so yeah,
He
the
has
first
one
piece.
piece. I think Link has one piece and then two go somewhere else.
One goes into a tree,
Okay.
which is the first level in the first Zelda game.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned the underground labyrinth already. So it's like a massive dungeon that's all interconnected. And what else? Oh, there's one cool scene where like I think Zelda dives into water. And it looks exactly like in Ocarina of Time when you're in Zora's domain, you have to dive off of a waterfall to collect rupees, and it looks it's a shot for shot recreation. So like again, it's the oh wow, is this a copy?
It's
And
incredible.
also shield surfing was in this one.
Which is like very cool.
Yeah. And in a later episode, I think it's in the final episode where he uses the bomb to lift his shield. Like he makes a Stalfo throw a bomb and then like he just pops off of it. That is a famous cheat in the later games.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
This is the episode, by the way, that has the animation error where Link's eyebrows disappear
Oh.
a few times in one scene.
Well, that's accurate to the game too.
Oh, okay. There's this weird thing where because all of the shards are connected, Link can shoot. He could zap into one shard and it will kill the Vir or Vire that's holding it.
I got sure.
Yeah, something like that. There are snake ropes. All right. What? So this should have been the first episode, really.
Really should have. They should have just expanded on it and had that as the premise. And not talk about how like Link's a slob and his room is a mess.
Wait, yeah, like, how old is Link supposed to be?
17.
So he's just 17, so he's just jerking off all day.
Oh yeah. So
Okay.
that pile of clothes, solid as
Stiff.
rock.
Yeah. Stiff. All right, so episode 8 is Doppelganger.
This is the one with Dark Zelda.
There's a cool homage in this where while Link is practicing his sword, he's whistling the Mario theme.
Yes, I like that.
Ganon creates a magic mirror and he sends it to Zelda's room like it's a frisbee. And then an evil Zelda comes out of the mirror and she has the same clothes but darker. Like she's this, like if you picked her, you're doing two player game and you both wanted to play Zelda, like this would be the
It's the palette change.
yes.
What
And this is
I.
the bad, this is the baddie. This is the hot baddie one.
And I gotta give it to Link. Link catches on so quickly. He's like, you're not Zelda. You're like evil Zelda, but like was still completely cool with making out with her.
Yeah.
She's like, well,
This is all I've wanted.
this is a great opportunity.
Yeah. He actually, I know these episodes are only 15 minutes, so they don't have a ton of time, but he finds out way too quickly. Like, what's the point of this ruse if it's not, you're not going to get any drama out of it?
It should have been when he sees two Zeldas, but like it was within 2 minutes, like 20 seconds of their interaction. But again, I think it's really funny. It's like, I know you're bad, but you know, beggars can't be choosers, and also you're willing. Any port in the storm, right?
Right, exactly. At one point, Link falls and the evil Zelda steps on him, and a fetish is born.
A step on my neck, bad Zelda.
Evil Zelda has no reflection in the water, like she's a vampire. That's how he figures out that she's not really Zelda. There's a creepy moment where Ganon grabs Zelda's chin and says, "Coochie coo." There's a lot of things I don't like in this. The underworld also, the underworld has a very M.C. Escher. It doesn't have the upside down stairs, but it almost does.
But it just has a lot of stairs.
Lots of stairs. They, of course, do the classic which one is the real one scene. Again, they're not dressed the same, so this shouldn't be that difficult. But he knows that it's not the real Zelda because the evil one will kiss him. He's like, that's not the real one. It'd be funny if he just murdered
He's like,
the real one
I just want to be loved.
then. Yeah,
I
I'm
just
just a person. I
She
just want to
was
feel loved.
so mean to me.
There's a weird thing where they're in the underworld, and then Link and Zelda both grab the Triforce of Wisdom, and it just elevates them out.
Yeah, I was like, when did it fly?
Right. It can do anything, can do anything. Whatever the story needs, anybody can do it in some way. Ganon can make any kind of magic he wants. The Triforces could do whatever they could talk. They could do whatever they want.
Yeah, I know. It's like Ganon shows off his teleportation so much, but why can't he just teleport into Link's room, grab it, and leave?
Why can't he take out a fucking knife and cut Link's throat open?
Yeah.
What's with all this subterfuge? Like, what's all this sneaking around? You're an evil wizard. They all get off on it. That's why.
Yeah,
It's all sick games.
he's just gooning. He's gooning in the corner.
So episode 9 is called Stinging a Stinger. It begins with Link playing the old she loves me not on a flower.
Stupid Daisy.
Link stops a bunch of thugs from abusing some guy, and one of the thugs pulls a Sideshow Bob and steps on a rake.
Classic.
And this is Sleaze-Nose. Who would
Sleaze
have thought
knows.
Sleaze-Nose wasn't a guy above boards?
Oh no, of course, Sleaze knows. Let me give my most prized possession to Sleaze knows.
It's almost as bad as Sleazebagio or whatever that Star Wars character name is.
Yeah. The Death Sticks.
Yeah. Why are all the like townspeople or villagers in this show like just disgusting dirt people?
Because they're commoners. They're not of royalty.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It's either you're of royalty or you shovel shit.
But where does Link come from? Like, who's like,
Do you really want to get into this or
I guess not. I don't know. Is he like a normal person?
depends on the game that you're playing.
Okay. Does he have parents?
Yes, he's a normal person. But okay, so if like I mean, you know, I'm an Ocarina of Time truist. So he was raised by the Kokori
Right, of
in the
course.
Kokori fire and forest, but the Kokori do not age. So once he got to the age where the Kokori will be like, hey, you're getting older, that's when he starts his adventure. And then the Deku Tree Sprout, because the Deku Tree died, told Link that his mother was a Hylian, so from Hyrule Castle, where, like,
Okay.
she was one of the villagers, during a war, left him with the Kokori. But that's in one story.
That's a monster.
There's many other different stories, but he's usually in the Farron province, which is the southernmost province of Hyrule, which is usually the more wooded area. He's a forest boy.
Okay. Yeah, that's like a real thing. Like Tom Cruise in Legend.
Yeah,
That's like,
I think a lot of this was pulled from legend. Like, oh God, I had the name of it. Una. Una is
Yes.
what's Sprite is Una.
Right.
Yeah.
So th much like with the other episode, like Link helping Sleeznote, like this is an old ruse. They just want to like he makes a trade with Link for his sword. They trade swords. And so Link gives him his most prized possession. Oh, here's why. Because Scumbag tells him,
So bad.
my name is Scumbag. He tells him that the sword will attract women. And Zelda's like, sorry, Link is like, all I want is to feel love.
Such a fragile person. There literally was nobody else.
Yeah. So Petras are f little flying eyeballs, right?
Yes.
Ganon captures Link and Zelda, and they're hanging from chains on his wall. Like, very weird. Ganon gets Link's sword. They're about to be fed to a monster, so Link is like, can I have a kiss? And she's like, not now. We see another Goma. And then the Triforce speaks in riddles. Triforce says, tells them to use their natural weapons, so they gather up a bunch of bees.
Well, they say, "Oh, you mean bugs and stuff?" And the Triforce goes, "Yes." So they only get bugs.
Yes.
It's like you could have used other things. Like, no, let's get bees. Let's get ants. Bees and
It's
ants.
just because a con can be called a sting. So we named the episode "To Sting a Stinger," so bees have to come in somehow.
Yes, but that was only for the last scene when Sleazebag
Yeah.
gets the ants put at him,
Yes.
sent at him.
Oh, and then at one point he gets like a fake. They give him a fake Triforce, or whatever. Or
Yes.
they know he's gonna try to steal it, so he gets a fake one.
Yeah.
Episode 10 is called "Hitch in the Works."
I think this one. I
Link
was this the
has
water park one? No, we got a couple more.
not yet. Link has to do chores because Ganon hasn't attacked in weeks. Oh, this is where we meet the castle handyman Doof.
Right, this one with the steampunk robot.
And Doof has magic, because don't we all? And so he makes like a magic, like you said, steampunk robot that's like mostly like household objects and barrels. Magic is the sort of get out of jail free card for everything in these plots. Ganon has this magic necklace that he wants to put on Zelda, which will make her do whatever he wants, include marry him.
Yeah, so again, that won't get him the Triforce because somebody else already had, it's already still being protected by Link. So it's like, what, through transitive properties or through like this dowry, I immediately get the Triforce?
Well, if she
It's like the
does whatever
logic
he
is shit.
wants, he could have her kick him out. Be like, you're fired. You're fucking fired, Bob. That's a Freddy Got Fingered reference for all you kids. How have we not done a PCMC episode on that yet?
Well, it's not going to be with me. I've never seen it.
You've never seen Freddy Got Fingered?
Yet.
Yeah, watch it.
Maybe that's
Watch
the
it.
episode. My first initial response to Freddy Got Fingered.
Yeah. A movie that Roger Ebert once said, I call it bottom of the barrel, but that would be an insult to barrels. And then they put that quote on the DVD. Brilliant. So yeah, this is when Link like flies on his shield. Like a hoverboard.
Yeah.
Why not do that all the time if we could do that?
It's very useful. That's
He does.
the bomb jump.
He doesn't use this shield a lot, actually.
No.
Ganon captures Zelda and puts the necklace on her, and they start to have a wedding. Right away, they got a wedding going.
I know these people that have like 2 year engagements and stuff. It's like they should learn something
Yeah.
from the G-Man.
Yeah. So that three-headed dragon thing's back. And is this from the game? He kills their body, but then the heads continue to float around. Is that in the game?
Float? No, I guess that's just like a. Oh, no, yeah, it's from the first game, just the first game.
Yeah, okay. And so Link saves the day, and then for some reason, Ganon is stuck inside the evil jar at the end.
Good. Put him away.
All right, next is
Well,
episode
so the
11.
thing
This is the
is,
stupidest one. This is the really
oh, this is
stupid
the
one.
water park one. Yeah, fairies in the spring. I
The one
really have
without.
nothing for this one. This one, like, the king wanted to make a water park or something, right? Like,
And you might be thinking, oh, water park, like this is medieval kind of like. What does that mean? Like, no, it's like Dorney Park. It's slides. It's a water park.
yeah.
A lazy river in fucking Zelda. It's so stupid.
Yeah. Honestly, I fell asleep for this episode because it was at this point I was like, this is a friggin' chore. And it was the dumbest episode.
Did you watch it in one go?
No, it took me the entire week,
Yeah,
to be
me too.
honest.
Me too. I really wanted to savor it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's a water monster that like comes out of the water. at one point, Link gets stung by an electric eel. So he goes out the same way as the crocodile hunter.
You hate to see it.
Too soon? I'm sorry. The king is taken under the water by the water monsters. They encounter a giant fish. Underwater, they've got like these helmets on. And Zelda's like, yeah, I'll kiss you. But they can't because they're wearing helmets. And she's like, haha, fuck you. I don't love you. And then we see the king was stealing all the water from the fairy world. So it was the fairies that were making the monsters. So Ganon had nothing to do with this. And really, they were just defending themselves. It's very Scooby-Doo, actually,
Yeah.
this episode. All right, we've got two left. And these two are good. And there's
These two are
continuity
good.
between 12 and 13, and
Yeah.
none of the others have any kind of continuity.
No.
So episode 12 is the Moblins are revolting. So the Moblins and like the werewolf guys, I don't remember their names, they're in conflict because they both try to steal the Triforce at the same time, and they're like, well, this is Ganon. Ganon put both of these plans in effect at the same time, so he's the reason. So this is why they're like, let's get rid of him. They fall.
I love that they were fighting and Link wakes up, he sees that they're both taken care of, and he's like, all right, and he goes back to sleep. I love that. One last thing.
I go back to jerking off.
Where's my pile of clothes?
They Palpatine Ganon. He's thrown off of something and he falls down. He's trapped in a bubble,
Yeah.
right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the hourglass thing, but it's
It's like a magic bubble. They throw him into this bottomless pit. They take the top off the evil jar and all the monsters come out at once. And
very
this is when they,
Ghostbusters.
yeah. And this is when they come together and storm the castle.
Yeah.
The problem is, all right, this was genuinely funny. There's a moment where a bunch of monsters have a battering ram, but they start running too far away. So by the time they get to the door, they're tired. It was funny-ish. It's as close as I got to enjoy, like finding something funny.
Yeah, but like Zelda
In a
and Link
better
just kept on
show,
like shit talking the Moblins. Like, they're like, yeah, they're really bad at this.
a Dodongo, it's just like an orange Triceratops.
Yeah, they got rid of that design after the first game. They made it more like a Komodo dragon after this.
So in this episode, they break Ganon's
Scepter, yeah.
scepter or wand or whatever. It ends in some real S&M shit. Ganon makes the as penance, he makes the monsters like clean up the dungeon, but with their tongues.
Hot.
He's jerking off while they do this.
Daddy Gannon.
Yeah. So episode 13, this is the last episode, folks. We got there. This is the missing link. So Moblins attack. Ganon shows up. He has a new magic wand. All right. So there is continuity between this one and the last episode. Ganon tries to send Zelda to his evil jar, but she reflects it and sends Link instead. But Link is still there. He's just like translucent
Ghost
because
Link.
the beam bounced around too much. So when it hit Link, it wasn't powerful enough. So it took his body, but not his like soul. Link asks for a kiss for the millionth time. She says, yeah, but then she goes right through him like he's a ghost. But then a
Finally,
second
right?
later, she pushes him. So what is nothing means anything.
Yeah, this is just Echoes of Wisdom. This is
Oh, really?
Zelda's on her own. This is a game. This is
Wow, okay.
and Link's spirit goes in her as like a sword fighter at some points.
Interesting.
Yeah, because he's fighting Ganon and they both get sucked into this like suspended world.
Okay. Well, we learned something interesting here, which is that no one else could see Link, and old Zelda can see him because she loves him. So he's happy to find out that she loves him. There's a weird tapestry of monsters in the underworld, which is weird because it's the only decor you see down there.
Yeah.
Like, who made it? Who hung it?
It's nice.
There's a funny moment where Link comes back to life and one of the skeletons like screams really loud and long for some
Yeah, he
reason.
holds him for he has like a 3 second pause where he's like, give me a bomb. But like, they like think about it for a little bit before he actually does it.
Link breaks the evil jar and it kind of explodes everything in the underworld.
It seems yeah, as short-lived as this whole thing was, it seemed like a satisfying end. Like there was closure of like, oh, Zelda actually likes him. The thing that I guess was the catalyst to everything, or like the big MacGuffin, like finally exploded. It's like, shit, we could have just done that the whole time. Also, the Stalfos could just blow it up at any time. Did
This
they
is
just not do it
really,
because it'll kill them?
I mean, this is 1989 and it's an animated series. It's kind of amazing that they even tried to make a finale. You know what I mean? Like, every other episode's basically interchangeable. But they had the forethought to be like, well, this is the last one. Let's make it count for something, which is really rare.
Yeah, they
But
gave it a
that's
little
it.
they
That's
gave it a
rule of
little
Zelda.
they killed it with some dignity, you know? But again, he tried to get a kiss at the end and he fell in a hole.
He never kisses her. He never
Yep.
kisses the real her.
No, not the real her. Kissed the hot of her though.
Of course,
The
because she's
baddie.
evil. Did you watch this with your kids?
Yes.
Did they hate it?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough.
Yes. Look, I don't want to give it the I don't want to give it the cliche hate.
No,
You
it's
know,
not terrible.
it's Link that ruins it. It's Link that ruins it, and it's the formulaicness. Honestly, if it was a 16-minute show, it would be too long. That's why, like Cartoon Network, when they started doing like those like 12.5-minute shows, like they figured out the formula. Like that is really enough to compress enough into a show with like I'm talking about formulaic shows. Like you got something like Gravity Falls and like something that's like actually dense. Like that is perfect. But like if it's like a oh I'm going to fight a beast and like I really only have about 3 minutes of story as well. Like Pendleton Ward figured that out. Aqua Teen Hunger Force figured that out. Like where it's like you're really only working with like one or two jokes. I think like once you pass the 13-minute mark, you overstay your welcome. And really, that's what they had. What?
I think that, all right, to like make it better, right? I think you don't necessarily have to make it longer, but I think had there been a bigger world, had they tried different things, had they not relied on stupid, like, plots that every other animated show does. You know, like by the time they're doing a water park, it's like you guys have given up already.
Yeah, I gave up. I completely gave up. Like I was dozing off. I was like, this is I guess I also know how rich the text becomes. So it's just like, all right, this is not inconsequential and you've exhausted the well, pretty much.
Is there anything in the first game that you feel like why didn't they just adapt that? That would have been great in the show.
In the first game?
Yeah.
They did. They did. That was the Underworld Connections episode. The
But
Underworld
there's.
Connections episode is the entire first game. Maybe the old man who says it's dangerous out there, to go alone, take this.
Yeah, it's true. You
Which
he
like
has the sword already.
yeah, like I like that Zelda is more of a partner than reliant on her rescue,
Yes.
but that is excuse me. Oh my God, sorry. That is the motivation. You know, right now they're the champs defending the title.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not
Yeah.
like they're not the underdog. They're just making sure that they're asset protection at this point.
Yes.
So you're not getting that, you know, he's learning to be better. There's no character development or anything like that.
No.
He's not growing. Like the whole purpose of a Zelda game is that I do the first level, I learn a new skill, I get a new weapon. And like they do that. They're like, oh, I got the force field ring, or I got the power bracelet, or I
Yeah.
got this. But like it's like, okay, you got that, and then we're done. You know, then you're back to square one again.
It's
It's
a
like,
dumb show made from a smart game.
yeah.
And you wish they had just aimed a little higher.
Yeah.
With
Like you
any.
said, it's like this game was all puzzles and sophisticated patterns and, you know, just like really built off of exploration. And it was b written by like a bunch of, you
Yeah.
know, 6-year-old guys with cigars.
Yeah. How about there's a pie eating contest? Sounds great. And then that's an episode. So there was this. There was the Mario cartoon that was in this. And then there was a Mario 3 cartoon.
And there was the Mario World
The
cartoon as
Mario World
well.
cartoon.
But also, I didn't have time to watch it, but there's a half-hour episode of Captain N Game Master where these characters are in it, but they're a little bit better looking.
Is it so okay. What do you know about that show? I've never really watched it. I watched one episode because I learned that Game Boy became an actual anthropomorphized character, and it's like, I gotta
Yep.
see this.
Yep. Game Boy's anthropomorphized character. It's Game Boy, Mega Man, Simon Belmont from Castlevania, Pit, which they call Kid Icarus because they didn't get the names right. The villains are King Hippo from Punch Out, Mother Brain from Metroid, and then they'll like go and help out different games. Like one of the first episodes is they go to Hyrule and they help out Link get a power bracelet. But I was just skimming through the episode. I didn't really have time to look at it because it was longer. Again, it overstayed its welcome.
There was also like all the way back in like the 70s a Donkey Kong game cartoon, and there was
Really?
like a Mario in that, but like nothing like the Mario we saw later.
Yeah.
It's interesting because it's like for a long time I felt like video game shows had to be about video game, like they had to be about the meta idea of video games, and
Yeah.
like you could play a video game and video games like it's like they didn't actually make it about the show. Going to the Mario episodes that were also part of this same series, the Super Mario Bros. Super Show, the weird thing about that show was despite how rich Mario was with characters and places, almost every episode is like a movie parody
Yeah.
to like stupid levels. Like this is a cowboy one. And it's like well, there's already enough shit in Mario. But again, it's lazy fucking cartoon writing.
I think I might be stating the obvious here, but it's video games at that point were so successful. They, you know, some old guy realized that this is what the kids are doing,
Yeah.
but they had such little source material to go off of if they even played the games. Or if they played the games and read the text, or like the text that came with the instruction manual or the opening credits, because that's how
Right.
you were going to get the storyline. Where now we have 40 years of lore to create a Bible for. You know what I mean? So it's like, that's why we're getting all, like, you're not going to get, I mean, now we have Last of Us and Uncharted and like all these
Right.
other things, but like the big, like, I can't even say that because like, Last of Us and all that are actually getting
Good, yeah.
excellent adaptations. But It's now a respectable medium that they're going to actually care about the story that they have to tell and not just use these characters in something else.
Well, you and I did an episode a long, long time ago about the effect of video games on movies and other media. All right, we're gonna wrap up here, but the last thing I want to ask you, right, is what do you want from this Zelda movie coming out?
I want it to be a fair adaptation of what Zelda is and what the title is, which is The Legend of Zelda. What is a legend? A legend is a story told by oral tradition that the characters might change, some of the details might change, but the like main core stays. So what I mean by that is what they've been doing is they hit it out of the park with Ocarina of Time, and they've been trying to link everything to that. And it looks like it's going to be similar to that game. What I hope they do, what I would absolutely love, and I don't think that's going to be possible, but it seems like they're trying to make a extended Nintendo universe.
So
So
you think
what
Star Fox is in this?
it would be perfect. I just wanted to end by like I want there to be a narrator in this that will say like this is just one way that the legend is told, and then like just give examples of like how other people tell the legend, and like you start seeing it in different styles
Okay, that'd be cool.
to the point where, and then the final style is like the Wind Waker style, where it's like cel shaded and like it's like a cartoony version. So this way it's like, okay, there's the animated one, and that one could actually go and tie into the Mario movies.
Okay, I see. Oh, I see what you mean.
So like you'll see one where it's like a little darker, or you'll see one that's like a little bit more, I don't know, like I can't think of different examples, but like multiverse versions of it without calling it the multiverse. It's just different ways that people tell the story.
How do you think they're going to handle Link? He's got to talk a little bit.
I don't know. I feel like he's gonna be it's gonna be very much like Ridley Scott's Legend. Like that right there, that's the best adaptation of a Zelda movie or a
Okay.
Zelda game. So, hope if it's anything like that, then we're good. We're in a good place.
Well, you heard it here, folks. Bill, your band is going out on the road. Tell us about the tour. Tell us where the folks can see you.
Oh, okay. Thank you. It's my band Red Vox is gonna be touring this summer. We're going to be playing the last week of July, July 24th through August 1st. We're going to be going to Beachland Ballroom in Cleveland, Ohio, Magic Bag in Ferndale, Detroit, Talia Hall in Chicago, Hi-Fi in Indianapolis, and Basement East in Nashville. So if there's any friends of the pod who want to come and hang out and listen to some good music, you could check us out. You could just Google Red Vox Tour or go to redvoxband.com, and we'd love to see you there.
This has been PCMC. I'm Michael Giorno. I was joined today by my good friend and yours, Mr. Bill Gagliardi. We end every episode by saying,
Go bye bye, and can I have a kiss?
no.
Oh.